Welcome to another inspirational My Church podcast. We hope that this message will bless and encourage you. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, please visit livelove.ca.
So I want to share with you tonight, part two. How many weren't here that were at church this morning? You weren't. Tonight's your first, so you didn't hear me this morning. Maybe 1,000 people. So I spoke this morning on a scripture from Isaiah. I think they've got the stuff up here. Isaiah 60 verse 1. And it says this. God's talking to Israel. Israel have stuffed up. They're in a bad place. But God says, no, I am going to visit the globe. And I'm going to come and shine my glorious light on planet Earth and upon Israel and Jerusalem, and you will literally become the joy of the whole earth. You'll be favored. It will be brilliant. Beautiful for situation, and everyone will love you. And so God promised his people that that would happen. And I believe we're in those days, which the Bible calls the end times, before Jesus comes back, that this will come to pass, not only in Israel physically, but in the church. Yeah. We're the spiritual Israel. And so God is promising this, and I believe it's happening right now, that God's kingdom is getting closer to planet Earth and his light is getting brighter. And so this scripture says, in that season, you've got to, by faith, arise into the light and shine. Arise, shine, your light has come. And the glorious light of the Lord is increasing upon you. And so I believe we're in that season. If we read on in that chapter, it would then talk about darkness. And it would say at the same time on planet Earth that this happens. Verse 2 it says, and the darkness will cover the people, even gross darkness. And so there will be, and we're seeing that now. I get to travel the globe. And there is an incredible uprising of Christians all over the globe that are standing up in faith to shine for Jesus. But at the same time, the contrast is between gross darkness of wickedness and the glorious light of righteousness. Those two are in contrast at the same time. And you've got to make a choice. Am I going to back away because gross darkness is on planet Earth, go hide in a cave? Or am I going to, by faith, rise up and shine in the light of Jesus and do something about it? And so this glorious light, when it shines, it reveals three things in your life. I spoke about one this morning. I think we've got the three things, reveals three things. Firstly, it reveals your divinity. You know what that means? It means that I am a human and I am divine. My humanity is my created, but when I receive Jesus, he's the divine one. He comes and lives within my life. So I have both humanity and divinity. So when God's light shines, and I talked about this morning, your divinity is you. It reveals that you're righteous because Jesus now lives within you. Talked about that this morning. If you want to, you can get that from the guys here. That's the first thing it does. The light of God does not reveal your flawed humanity. That's created light. Created light. I can see you because there's light. But that's not eternal light. That's created light. Eternal light doesn't shine on my humanity. God doesn't look at skin color. His light doesn't see that. That's created light. Religious light is created light. All the rules and regulations of religion have been created by the light of our own human understanding. And so we're very good at shining created light on people and say, you've been bad, we're going to watch you, we're inspecting your, etc. No, God doesn't do that. God doesn't, his light doesn't reveal our humanity, my flaws, my failings. His light shines on Jesus within me and reveals how that now I'm righteous in him. So the first thing created light does, which is this morning, it reveals your divinity. If you receive Jesus Christ into your life, into this human frame, the divine one comes and lives within me. And then God doesn't look at you and say, oh, you're struggling, you're, you know, in your flesh or in your humanity. No, he shines on Jesus in you. It's incredible. And so he reveals your divinity. But there's two more things here that the light of God does. The second one is he reveals your destiny. When God's light shines, see, religion looks and shines on your past. Oh, we're going to check you out. You've been a naughty young person. We're just going to put you on the slow burner for a while. That's religious light. God doesn't do that. His light doesn't shine on your yesterday. It shines on your destiny. It's incredible. And if people realized how much God is for you, not against you, you wouldn't even hesitate to say, I've got to live for God. I need Jesus in me, because this is, and in such a day as this, when the light is shining, I want to rise into that light. And then the third one is God's light reveals your divinity, who Christ is in you, the hope of glory in you. Secondly, it reveals your destiny. Your steps are ordered by God. He'll shine on his plan for your life. And then the third one is your definition. When God's light shines on you, it brings definition into your life. You start to see things clearly. You don't live in a fuzzy, hazy life. So many people do. Even people that are Christians, they think, well, if God's light shines a bit better, it'll turn the blackness of sin into 50 shades of grey. It'll just light, you know, make it a bit less wicked. Well, that's not what God's light does. When it shines on people that have Christ in them, and it gives them definition of how they should live. And then all of a sudden the people in your world say, man, they've got definition. They don't run with opinion. They don't get swept along with, you know, every placard-waving fool. They've got definition. And so this is very important. So let me talk to you about the first one. God's light reveals your destiny. We've got a scripture here, Jeremiah 29, 11, which I love this scripture. Jeremiah 29, 11. Is it up on the screen? Just checking. This is a brilliant scripture. It says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Even before you were born, I set a destiny plan for your life. Not one of you is here by accident tonight to listen to me preach. I don't care if it's your first time here and someone, you know, bribed you to come with pancakes or whatever else. You're here because God wants to get to you and help you live a great life. That's what it's about. Oh, that was a brilliant... We got one rule when I preach. If one person claps, we all clap. That's better. Now I'm feeling the love. And I always pay someone to clap, to be the clapper. It's enough. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil, so I can inspect your past. No, to give you a future and a hope. So God's light shines and reveals his plans for your future. Here's the deal. When God's light comes and shines on you, which he wants to do in an increasing way, he shines his light on your little dust plans, the things that you've planned, and he comes and he reveals his template for your life, which is always bigger and better than what you could have planned. There will be some people here tonight that I'm asking the Holy Spirit to speak to about your plans. You see, God will speak to you about destiny, not just about the steps from now to Christmas. He'll come with light and he'll stir your heart. And there'll be people here tonight that'll go home and say, I know God's talking to me about something bigger. Here's my advice. Just don't jump into anything too soon. this season, God, around the world, everywhere I go, people are saying, God's stirring me. I know there's something bigger than the plans we have. In 1999, which is before most of you were born, 1999, I took over a little church on the Sunshine Coast. It had been through tough times. They'd tried to rent this property. It was 10 acres with a water slide and a theme park on it. And incredible water slide. So I took it over. We used to have the most amazing water baptisms. Some people, seriously, they got saved on the way down. In Jesus' name. There you go. Anyway. So I took over this thing and I forgot the story. And our church boomed. It grew really quickly. And the building had a sort of a cafeteria events thing and could seat maybe 300, 350. And so it was packed out within months, just jammed. And so we all got excited and bought the land, bought the property. Long story, but so I got all excited, started to draw up plans for this property and used the events thing as maybe a foyer, and it went down a hill and sort of something there. And so a good friend of mine is a guy, Pastor Brian Houston, who's the senior pastor of Hillsong Church around the world. And he comes up to where I live, to Noosa on the Sunshine Coast, every year for holidays. And he was up there at this time, and I'm talking to him. I said, you've got to come down and see our property. We bought this property, and you got to have a look at it. It's exciting. So down he comes, and we meet, and we're standing on the back little balcony of this funny little building. And I'd drawn up some sort of plans. They weren't, you know, they were the first stages of plans. And we're looking at it and talking, and I pulled them out and I said, have a look at this, Brian. This is what we're thinking of building. And he looked at it like that for about 2 seconds, and he just gave them back and said, you're limiting God. And I was shocked. I mean, that is not diplomacy. Just like that. Gave them back, you're limiting God. And I went home and said to my wife, I think Brian's an idiot. He was so rude to me. I was so ticked off. I won't tell you what my wife said about him. No, she's always gracious when I'm traveling. Anyway, and so I went home. But God spoke to me and said, I want to do something even greater than what you can see right now. And so I threw those plans away and went back to our team and said, we've got to do something bigger than this. And so the end result is that we've got 10 acres, plus we bought another 6 at the back. We built a building that seats, we jammed 2,000 into it, seats about 1,500. It's 3 levels with lifts and stuff. It's gorgeous, etc. And we would never, it's the biggest auditorium on the Sunshine Coast where we live. They use it. They're building a bigger conference centre, convention centre. But ours is the biggest now. We would never have done that if Brian hadn't have told me, just stop a bit. God has something bigger for you. And that's a word for you tonight in this place. Do you hear me? God wants to do something bigger. I know that's a word for people here. Just stop and let God shine his light and give you a greater destiny path than you have planned for your life right now. So the third one that we looked at, our divinity, God's light reveals that, then our destiny. And the third one is, and I want to maybe just talk on this for a few minutes, our definition. There's a scripture in the Bible in Psalms 119, 105. Well, I think, yeah, they've got it. And it says, God's word, which is God's light, his revelation, God's light is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, to give us definition in our lives. Too many people are living in shadows. You can go through a day in life and not even see the people that you're mixing with. That's so sad. So many of them are people without hope, people without Jesus. And if you live like that, it's hopeless. And you start to feel so many things without definition. I don't know when it was, maybe April this year, I was invited to go and speak at a church that was opening a new facility, nice new building. And where I live, Brisbane's it's the capital of Queensland. 1 hour in a car above that, the Sunshine Coast is where I live. So I drive 1 hour on a freeway to Brisbane, and to get this church, I had to drive another hour out here up a big mountain range to Toowoomba, which is up at the top of a mountain. And so I did that. The only thing was, back in April, we were having incredibly bad storms, flooding storms, damage, all that sort of stuff, because where we live is the tropics, and it just comes up and, you know, dumps. So I had to drive down this highway in the rain, lashing rain, up the mountain on another quite reasonable road, get up there, got there, preached, opened, dedicated this building, and we had coffee afterwards. And another preacher was there, and he said to me, "Are you going to go home the back way? It's a little bit shorter." And I said, "I don't know the back way, down the back of the mountain. I'll just go back and down the big freeway to Brisbane, then the freeway home." And so I left and got in my car and put the satellite navigation thing on. And so I go out and up to the corner to turn right to go down the big mountain. And the woman, the woman said to me, "Turn left. It's a quicker way to go." I say all the time now, "Lord, the woman made me do it." And so I don't know why, because I'd already told the guy, "I'm not going to go left down the back." So I did. I turned left. And inside, there's something in me saying, "Turn around, you know the other way, it's easier and better." But the woman kept saying, "Ignore that, come with me." And so I started to go down the back of this mountain. I mean, it's 2 to 3 hours to go down to get back to where I live. And as I start to go down, it's pouring rain, really bad. And so I've got a road and there's no one around. And I the rain is so heavy, I have to slow right down to about 160 kilometres. No, to about 30 or 40 K. It's so bad, the rain. And I get about half an hour down and I think I'm too far now to turn around. And the woman, she just keeps saying, "Keep going, keep going. You'll be okay." And so so we're going down this mountain. The fog sets in. There's lightning and thunder and driving rain. And then the fog sets in. And the road gets narrower. And then the middle line disappears. I can't see. And so this fog sets in. It's so thick, I can't even see the steering wheel. Oh, no, that's in the car. That's wrong. And so now I've slowed right down and I'm trying to make my way down this mountain with no sense of direction. And it's just getting worse. And then I get goosebumps thinking of it, something evil happened. And it's like, as I'm driving down this mountain, it's like it was demonic. These huge beasts, I don't know what they were, but they began to reach out from the side of the road to grab my car. I couldn't believe it. I am freaking out with fear. All I can do is pray in a spiritual language. Even the woman on the sat nav is praying in tongues. So I am seriously freaked out. It's only when I get down the mountain further, that I realized what I was doing was veering into the bushes. And they were scraping the car, and I'd veer the other. You thought it was a real... Here's the deal. Do you want to provide commentary? Now, here's the deal. Listen. When you can't see clearly, that's when fear sets in. And then you imagine all kinds of things. You know what I'm saying? That's why some of you struggle with fears. And you imagine dumb things because you don't have definition in your life. I finally got home, long time, 3 hours at least. I was shaking. It was such an... It's one of the worst experiences I've ever had, apart from when Pastor Brian said, "You're limiting God." So I get home and I said to my wife when I got home, I felt like a blind man. I just couldn't see anything. Then everything began to crowd in on me. Some people live like that. The people here tonight that need to let the light of God shine on you again. And so I want you to come with me to a scripture. It's in Mark 8, verse 23 to 25. And let me read it to you. This is about a blind man in the Bible. Then Jesus came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him. This is how I felt. And they begged Jesus to touch the blind guy. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. That's weird. And when he had spat on his eyes, that's weird, and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. He said, "Of course I can't. You spat my eyes." And he looked up and he said, "I see men like trees walking." One of the worst ways to live life is not seeing people clearly. When you lose definition, people become like trees walking. You go to the supermarket, you don't even remember the person that served you. Our job is to shine, to bring definition to them as well. So he looked up and said, "It's all fuzzy. I see men like trees walking." So Jesus put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Let me show you what a lack of definition does out of this passage. A lack of definition produces this in your life. You get led about by other people. When you don't have clear definition, you will be pushed and pummeled by the opinions of other people and led about by other people. Secondly, if you haven't got clear definition as to what God wants to do with your life and why you're on planet Earth, you'll end up being drawn away and led away from the action. I'm amazed how many people are drawn away from church and the spiritual life of God simply by a pretty girl or a better job or a just I'm amazed how people are drawn away from where the action is, where God is, where life is, by such pathetic things. The reason is they've never had clear definition as to what God wants for their life and their destiny. The next thing that happens without definition, life spits in your face. So many people talk like that. Life's no. The next thing you see people as trees walking, and you have a distorted view of reality. It's so easy not to see people clearly. I started my first church, I forget now. No, heavens. In 1981. Started my first church from nothing. My wife and I went and we put the little leaflets in letterboxes in this community, and it was "Join with us for a brand new start." So on the 5th of July 1981, we started our first church. We planted 12 churches out from that one as we grew. But we started Sunday, 5th of July 1981. We had 22 people in the morning there and 18 at night. I was the security man. I was also overseeing catering. I was the worship leader, and I was the preacher. My wife, she was children's ministry, guest relations, and a whole lot of it. So there was the two of us. First Sunday morning, 22 people there. And I said, you are so blessed to be here. We're going to build a great church and you're going to help pay for it. And so I said, just to show you that I'm not fazed by this, so I'm not going to work. I'm going to work on building a church. I'm going to believe God that he's going to bless us. So we're going to give today the first Sunday's offering away to another church overseas. And so it was about 350, back then that's probably a lot more, but 300, so we gave it away, sent it away, and all the people were saying, whoa, how's he going to live? The next Sunday, I'm there and I've preached, and there's about 5 or 10 more people, and after I've preached, I've got to pack the chairs. We haven't even got team for that, so I'm packing the chairs, and a little short guy, he'd be 5 foot maybe, but square. No, he's like a brick with eyes. So this little guy, after the service, I'm flat out trying to pack chairs and get out with, you know, and go home. And he says, hey, Father. And I look up and he says, Father, can I speak to you? And I nearly didn't, I just treated him like a tree walking. I'm so busy being, doing, that I nearly missed. And he says, Father, please. So I said, yes, my son. He said, this is our first day here. We got the leaflet. We've just moved last week from Melbourne. And he and his wife, their daughter and son-in-law had given their lives to Christ in a church down there. And they'd moved up that week, joined with us for a brand new start. So along they come, and he says, Father. Yes, my son. He says, do you take dirty money? I said, the moment that money touches these hands, it shall be clean. And he said, no, Father, I won a lot of money gambling on the horses. And I said, I love animals. End result was, and this is in 81, he said, next Sunday, I'm going to bring you a check for $10,000. How many of you know that really stirred the church? Yeah. And it stirred me and my wife, but I nearly missed it. Wow. Through running around not having definition. And some of you are missing some of God's best moments. Because it's like you got this blindness. You know, you're doing what you can in life, but no, God wants you to have definition. He wants to shine his light on you. And so you'll notice what Jesus did. Going to next. Jesus touched him again. Next one. Jesus made him look up. Next one. His sight was restored and he saw everything in clear definition. I believe in God's second touch. So many people here are saved, but you're living like you're in a blurred life. And some of you need to let God's light shine touch come again so you can see clearly. So you don't simply get predictable and routine. This first church that we planted started in 1981. It grew quickly. And so we looked around and found 6.25 acres with a creek running through the middle of it. And this creek flooded regularly, as Brisbane does, with big storms. And so the council, it was cheap, the land. We bought it after council said, yeah, you can build there, but you'll have to build 20 feet in the air so that when the floods come, it goes under the building. And so we did. We built right up on big piers, and we had a nice roundabout thing. You okay, you guys? Nice roundabout thing, and this building, etc. But before we started the building, I had a brilliant idea. Let's have a whole church family working day there. You know, to cut down some trees and everything. And on that day, we hired a guy with a big tractor, you know, earth mover, to flatten an area where the building was going to go. And so what he did, he got the soil, flattened it, put it in his truck, and then backed the truck down to the creek to fill in part of the creek so we could extend our car parking. And so he was doing that during the day, and everyone was having a good time. Birds were seen, some was out, kids were running around. And then all of a sudden, we heard this roaring like of a bull, put chills down our spine. And what had happened, this guy that was, filling his truck up with soil and dumping it in the creek, he overfilled his truck. So he backed down to the creek and put it up to get rid of the soil, but the truck started to fall sideways. And he yelled out to some of our guys, come and help me. And they ran over and he said, the truck doesn't work properly. I've got a lever under the chassis, on the inside of the chassis. You've got to pull that so the back comes down. And so one of our men, instead of putting his hand under the chassis, pull it, he put it over the chassis, pulled the lever, and of course it came down here and his arm was that thick. And he's roaring like a bull. Anyway, it spoiled a good day. It did. Everyone went home. They just went home. And after everyone had gone, this guy had gone to hospital and whatever. I'm sitting on a box just saying, God, what the heck happened? And one of my leaders, and we're very young, so, you know, you use anyone in leadership in the first 6 years. But this one of these guys came over to me and he just blurted out. I'm sitting there and he said, Steve, this is God's sign. You're not to build a church here. You've got blood on your hands. Then he just took off. So I went home and you just keep going. But about 2 or 3 months later, one of my other leaders that loved me and loved the house came up to me and said, Steve, you're not preaching the way you were before the accident. Seems like you've lost definition. And I had to literally get before God on my knees and say, God, I don't want to be like that. You see, I let something negative discourage me and I stopped seeing clearly. There are people here tonight like that. You've just backed away from life. You don't have the big dream and the focus and all that. And God wants to touch you again tonight with a light shine touch. You see, the light of God is shining incredibly, but you've got to rise into it. You've got to want it. God wants to give you clear definition of His plans for your life and how you should live it. And it may well be that you have simply become discouraged, become hurt, become disillusioned, or whatever, and you need a light shine to touch me again, Jesus. I want to see everything clearly. See, one of the things that I believe God's graced me with is the ability to see things. That's a grace gift on me. And I'm going to pray that over you tonight. I'm going to pray that some of the things you plan, God will superimpose greater plans. I'm going to pray that instead of wandering through this haze and maze, you'll start to see more clearly, with definition, the things God has for you. If that's you all over this place, raise your hand to God. I want a miracle to happen in our lives tonight. The light is shining tonight. Father, these are your people reaching out to you. We're not losers. We're not simply humans, little specks of dust. We are people with a destiny because you have come and changed our life. But tonight I want you to come and touch each one. Let the light shine. Take away darkness, take away the fog, take away confusion, take away discouragement, and let people see clearly tonight. And from tonight on, the things that you've prepared for our lives, so we can walk through this dark world with clarity and definition and be the light for others. I'm asking for a miracle in people's lives tonight. We're not begging, we're simply reaching. We're rising up to shine because you promised the light. And here tonight, darkness be dispelled from this place in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, visit our website. And if you'd like to support the ministry of My Church financially, you can do so by following the giving link at livelove.ca. Thank you for partnering with us. We pray this message has blessed and encouraged you.